Anna banayo. Kobani.
Sizokhala umhlangano. Ngokuthi sikathole ukuthi kunabantu abanye baxolisa ukuthi abazobakhona. Tholele incwadi ebuya kuminista. Uthi nawo naye uye wafaka isixolisi sokuthi uyagula baba uFandale. We have apologies from the minister, Mama Paliso. Mama Paliso is attending to a tragedy in her constituency area. We must have read or seen on TV about some of the mines that collapsed with some of the illegal miners. And then Mama Twala is off sick from an operation. And the minister has apologized on work duty. And then you know our committee secretariat, she's off sick as well. We have as part of our program for today the fourth quarter review. If I'm not mistaken, I think next week we're supposed to be dealing with matters related to outstanding issues. Am I correct? I'm just going through my program and now it's not here. I'm trying to draw a parallel with what we are to be doing here now and with what is expected to happen the next week. So that these are seen as part of a continuous program. DG, we decided to have that item in lieu of the fact that it's not the first time that we're going to be having this outstanding matter. And again, it is in recognition on our part and also on your part that some of the decisions that we take, they are not properly followed up. It means then that we have to be subjected to a process where we go back to the minutes and then identify, isolate the issues, and then compile them and then send them back to you for a response. It's not an ideal situation in the absence of any systems in place. I think that's one way of trying to deal with issues. We hope to improve as time goes, which will then mean that even with our minutes, you know, the following week we are to be expected to meet, we should then be able to reflect on what transpired in the previous meeting. So that we don't leave things, you know, after 3 months, after 6 months, having to scratch our heads, is this really what we said, and so on, and time shall have gone by, so that we are not going to find ourselves in that situation going forward. As I said, you know, with time permitting, we should be able to improve on that situation. Okay, without sounding to be lamenting, we should, without waste of time, give over to you, DG. The main issue when we go through any report or receiving any plan, you know, we always talk about these things all the time. Mr. Van Dalen, to an extent that the ANC is now involved, Mr. Gaylor, in a process of its conference preparation. Among the things that you are dealing with is to prepare for a policy conference before that national conference. And what transpires in a policy conference really is a refinement of any policy. And as such, therefore, whether the policies that are there are working, and those that are still outstanding for any changes or transformation have indeed been brought on board. But in the main, we are guided by a single factor that says, you know, like a Freedom Charter shall have said, you know, share the land among those who work it. And ensure that there is safe and enough food for all. And that is also what the DA subscribes to. UDM subscribes to. That's what brings us here. So that we are able to assist each other. The department is expected to operationalize any policy positions adopted by government. Informed, of course, as we all know, it's public knowledge that ANC or the majority party sits wherever, conference and agrees on policies and resolutions, and those are refined. You're always there in spirit, of course. The aim, again, it is to see how best we assist the administration implement the policies, so that we are able to understand each other, where we're coming from. Our members here, you know, they at times, you know, make points that really, you know, have sort of demonstrated frustration. And those frustrations, by and large, they are a reflection of this very urge, of this very need, you know, to assist the department to deliver on its targets. And nothing else. And lastly, the point raised sorry, by members here, especially reflected in the respective constituencies, you know, we're coming from. Well, this is one area that we haven't really been able to master at DG. Also talking with the minister as well, that your respective constituencies, they have confidence in yourselves, in ourselves. As a result, it is expected of us to really rise to the occasion by channeling some of those through to the department, through Ralph here, and Renee here, and David here. But as to whether we are able to get any satisfaction out of those, it really becomes a big question. Now, I'm raising this because it is our daily occurrence, experience, that all of us, including myself, for information, Mr. Abram, I also go through such frustration. To an extent, I was even asking Norma in my office to give me a list of all issues that I shall have referred to the department as inquiries on behalf of constituencies, because I shall not have heard any feedback on those. because I'm then saying to myself, let me make follow-ups to those. I'm raising this because it becomes a very important issue. Because the question that arises out of the DG is that we are here seated as members of parliament. And, you know, the provincial secretary of the ANC in the Eastern Cape says, you know, in one workshop on policy, Mr. Gaylor, on this policy conference document, he says, you members of parliament out there in the constituent areas, you are much more privileged and honored. Because whenever there is any problem out there, Baba Masang, this member of parliament is able to pick up a phone and call the minister. Here is a problem, here is an issue. But the person out there in that constituent area, in the branch or region, will have to follow all these protocols, going through the provincial executive committee and whatnot and whatnot. Now here, we are a lot more privileged. Now the issue here is that whether that indeed is happening, that calling on the minister, indeed you do get the satisfaction required. That is one major problem that we're confronted with. Because at the end of the day, once again, the aim it is to assist the administration implement a policy that we all subscribe to, regardless of the political parties that we belong to. Because for that ordinary member of parliament, if you ordinary member out there in society, it is not easy to pick up a phone and call the DG, you call the minister. Because if when that member calls, he or she will be subjected to all sorts of, you know, bureaucratic nuances. What is this call about? And it goes on. I'm mentioning all of that so that when we review any performance, so that it is, you know, just against a particular reality that we are finding ourselves in as we move forward. I thought, let me just make those few comments as we give over to the DG. Members, are we fine? Are we okay? Mr. Fandala?
I just wanted to add to what you were saying. You were saying that you were going to a conference where you are going to do policy. I would just want you to think about this as well, that there will be clear outcomes and then measurable time frames for those policies to be implemented. It's always very important because we find out there's all these grand plans, but it doesn't work on the ground. That connection needs to be made. So don't just make a grand plan. Come with measurable deliverables that we can judge to see if you are doing what you say you want to do. Thank you.
Conferences take place once in 5 years. So those are reviewed after that 5 years. In fact, it is for government to operationalize with all those plans and targets and whatnot and whatnot within that framework of 5 years. That's generally how it works. Members, I think we should allow the DG to take us through, and then if there is anybody new to introduce, we might as well do that. If none, we just go forward with our presentation. Thank you.
There is someone new, I think we've got Mr. Ramasoti from us, the executive director in the Division of Plant and Animal Health. He is filling the acting DG there who could not be with us, not well. Also from the office of the minister, there's a new Padisa, who is the lead alignment. Major Lang is in the Sport Minister. She also joined the meeting. I think all the other people are the usual suspects. Thank you, Chair. Just to comment on the opening remarks, Chair. We will make available to you, Chairperson, the list of senior management staff members that have been deployed to every district municipality in the country, so that honorable members would know which person is supposed to assist them, even in their own constituencies, from the department. We have deployed every senior management to a particular district municipality that they're supposed to be responsible for. In the same vein, we've also deployed senior management staff members to commodities. So if you want to talk to someone dealing with the fruit industry, pork industry, there is someone that has been deployed to work with those commodity structure. I think that will that should at least help to obviate the challenges that are there in terms of trying to communicate issues with us. I, for one, if there is any communication we get from the department, from the members of parliament, we prioritize that. I mean, last week I was given something by Madam Stein, and I'm somewhat ready to answer here what even the issue that you wanted to know about. We take those kind of matters quite seriously. This is the report of the last financial quarter, last financial year, of 2011-2012. Before I go to it, I just want to make this to share with the portfolio committee this interesting development. So the minister mentioned last week that we have turned the corner, and she mentioned that a certain number of jobs have been generated by the agricultural sector. Indeed, that is the case. More recently, I was informed by the people who are dealing with monitoring the office, dealing with particularly smallholder development, that our target last financial year, was to establish new 15,000 new smallholder farmers. We exceeded that target according to the report that I received. We've created 21,000 new smallholder farmers, mainly around Limpopo and Bumala. But we're in the process of verifying those facts, but it comes from some of our senior researchers in the department. It was an uninvited information by them to me that this is what the facts are showing to come. So if you compare that to the almost as new 60,000 jobs that we created last year, and then 21,000. So we have tried, we have been able to create almost 80,000 sustainable livelihoods for people in the rural sector. And I think that's something worth noting and worth celebrating. Of course, once the whole thing has been verified, we will share those details with the portfolio committee. Our presentation, Chair, as we always do, will look at all the key focus we have in the department, what our vision is, and we'll go through the overview and all the key programs up to challenges and way forward. What we would want to do, Chair, going forward, we want to change the manner we're reporting. This manner we're reporting is the routine manner all departments report like this. And we think sometimes it hides what we're doing. So we are exploring, and we will test this with your permission, Chair, that actually we indicate that there are two things that we're supposed to do as a department. It is to keep commercial agriculture sustainable and productive. Two, it is to build smallholder agriculture. Those are the two things. There's nothing else I expected to do. Those are the two things I'm supposed to do. Okay? And we want, going forward, to share with the portfolio committee what in each of our programs, what we've done for each of these two categories, so that it's clear to everyone that the department, in terms of its program of education, these are the skills that we've made available for that will benefit this sector. This is the policy on tariffs. This is the kind of inspection that you know, and we say to these will benefit this category of farmers. this would be the critical. Well, otherwise, sometimes not using a critical theory methodology hides things. Yet the critical theory methodology that emphasizes categories of social relations makes to clarifies everything and makes people know exactly what we've done, when, and for who. Because right now it's not very clear. So we think that going forward we might change this and indicate how each of those programs relate to these two categories of our principal constituents. Our vision is to create a leading dynamic, connected, prosperous, and people-centered sector. The strategic goal is to increase profitability, increased profitable production of food, fiber, and timber products by all categories of producers, subsidiaries, smallholder, and commercial, to ensure that there is a sustained management of natural resources, that there is effective national regulatory services and risk management systems, that we have a transformed and united sector, and we have increased contribution of the sector to economic growth and development, as well as effective and efficient governance. The department presents its quarter four organizational performance report for the 2011-2012 financial year. This presentation focuses attention on achievements of quarter four that contribute to annual achievements as reflected in the accompanying report. The department identifies the following five areas of core for focus service delivery during the financial year. The first one is to reduce the cost of basic foodstuffs as well as the cost of living. It to ensure that there's employment creation and increasing the number of participants in the DAF sectors through support for smallholders and processors, improving the income and conditions of farm workers, foresters, fishers, to enhance our exports and ensure the sustainable use of natural resources. This part of the program is implemented according to those five work areas: administration, economic development, trade and marketing, food security and agrarian reform, agricultural production, health and food safety, forest and natural resources management, as well as fisheries management. Coming to administration, the aim is to provide strategic leadership, management, and support services to enable the department to contribute to government objectives of national economic growth, job creation, food security, rural development, and transformation of the sector. Program 1, sectoral information management. This is to ensure that the availability of relevant information about the sector, and the following quarterly publications were compiled: the quarterly economic review, the price watch reports, three crop estimate reports, livestock statistics, crops and markets publication, agricultural abstract, and food security bulletin. The purpose of the reports is to assist farmers and investors to plan properly. Second, DAF is to help monitor issues that are impacting positively or negatively to the health of the sector and react accordingly. According to Central Information Management, the delivery forum was launched at St. George's Hotel on the 16th of March 2012. An aligned process of facilitating integrated planning in the provinces to respond to presidential outcomes has been undertaken during January 2012. A draft integrated strategic plan to this effect will be reflected as contributions to reviewed outcomes. We also ensure that the insert, communications insert of the Female Entrepreneur of the Year Awards, which are celebrated on the 26th of March 2012, this was broadcast on Morning Live, SABC TV. A total of 146 publications were sold while 600 releases were issued. The ILI, Malisima, and CAS contributes to Outcome 7 in the Minister of Performance Agreement with the President, which is to create a vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities with food security for all. In this regard, we've got Output 1, which is sustainable agrarian reform, Output 2, improved access to affordable and diverse food, or put three improved rural services to support livelihoods in order to put for rural job creation, skills training, and promoting economic livelihoods. The purpose of the Maritima is to enhance food security by ensuring that vulnerable groups and farming communities have access to inputs and skills to undertake agricultural production or achieve an increase in agricultural production. 100 million, which is 25% of the total of 400 million in the Maritima are transferred to the provinces in quarter four, bringing the total transfer to 400 million. The expenditure to get 396 million as at the end of March 2012, and this represented 97.7% spending against the total dispersed. Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest, Western Cape managed 100% expenditure against the funds available. Limpopo, Eastern Cape and Gauteng are the only provinces which did not spend all of the funds, but the overall performance of the provinces is satisfactory. The target for the fourth quarter of 2011 was 54,700 food beneficiaries, and by the end of the quarter, 50,545 beneficiaries were reached, with a shortfall of 4,195. Categories of farmer assistance are as follows. There were 27,557 subsistence farmers. There were 21,520 smallholder farmers and 700 black commercial farmers. A total of 39,459.76 hectares were planted during the quarter. In the Eastern Cape, it was fruit, grain, and potatoes. In the Free State, it was vegetables, grain, fruit, sorghum. In Gauteng, it was horticulture. In KwaZulu-Natal, it was sugar cane, grain, maize, and vegetables. In Limpopo, it was vegetables and grain. In Mpumalanga, it was maize, sunflower, soya, groundnuts. In the Northern Cape, it was cash crops, grapes, and citrus. In the Northwest, it was maize, groundnuts, cotton, beans, pumpkin. And in the Western Cape, it was vegetable, grains, and fruits. A total of 4,160 jobs were created through the Maritima program. The breakdown of, in terms of men was 2,107 men and 2,035 females. 1,896 jobs were permanent and 2,266 jobs were temporary or seasonal. Food security projects undertaken were accessed by 30,932 households, 26 schools, and 1,197 kindergartens. Support was in the form of production input. The purpose of CAF is to provide post-settlement support to targeted beneficiaries of land redistribution and reform and other producers who have acquired land through private means and are, for example, engaged in value-adding enterprises domestically or are involved in exports. Expenditure at the end of the fourth quarter against 100% dispersed funds, which was 1,029,321 million. Only 984,808 million was reported to have been spent by provinces, which represents 93.8% spending against total funds. 720 projects were targeted for support in mid-level and 12 functionally, but a total of 741 projects were supported, so we exceeded our target. There were 391 of 741 projects that reported have been completed at the end of quarter four. Of these projects, 191 projects were completed during quarter four. 69 projects were initiated in quarter four and 291 projects are in progress. The beneficiary targeted for support this current financial year was 37,999 and to date 36,505 beneficiaries have been reached through CAF, a shortfall of 1,494 beneficiaries. then it's a satisfactory achievement. 11,800 supported in quarter four alone, representing 3.8% spending against total funds available. 2,176 jobs were created in quarter four, with 824 jobs being provided for 2,348 jobs received on October jobs. Of the 3,150 jobs created, 1,892 were males, 1,280 females. A total number of 13,014 farmers were reported to have accessed markets. So in some ways, you would say those are now sustainable participants in the economy. But if you have the market, your participation is steady. Of course, market changes. Okay. Coming to the extension recovery plan, allocation and expenditure in quarter four was 295.790 million at the end of quarter four, which marks 96.3% spending from a total of 306.83 million dispersed. At the end of quarter four, 1,008 extension personnel have been recruited since the search of the recovery plan in 2008-2009. There are currently 3,224 extension officers. At the end of the fourth quarter, spending of about 42.615 million, 87% overall expenditure of the allocated 50 million for Catholic colleges was achieved. Coming to program two. Okay. Open the page one. Completely so far to start opening from page nine. Program Economic Development, Trade and Marketing. To ensure value chain integration, facilitation of market access for agricultural forest and fishery products in support of economic growth, job creation and development. The Coordination Center for Research and Agricultural Development of Southern Africa, CARTESA, was signed. In the actual report, I would indicate, that's why I wanted this to be visible, I think it's a better one. The pages that we are now referring to in the actual report, not the slide presentation, are pages 21 to 24. So, honorable members wanting to follow up on the other report can do so. It's pages 21 and 24. 28 cooperatives have been established, and 15 community groups have been identified and organized. A total of 18 small businesses have been supported through the active business assessment tool. All together, 107 persons were trained in the trainer program. 45 cooperatives have been trained on the farm together in the cattle cooperative program. The RPDE Section 9 sector code was approved by the Minister of Trade and Industry and published the notice in the Government Gazette for a 60-day period for inviting public comment. I think one of the members will know that this has been going on now, this challenge around court settlement for more than 3 years, and at least now it has not been gazetted, and is now with its adoption after the public comments, etc., it will now have legal tools. So people will be able in the sector to help to report to government on the extent of transformation, and there will be implications for those who are not transforming. Mm-hmm. We're now still on pages 24. An export awareness workshop for 150 farmers, extension officers, and traders was held. Negotiations with Senegal to conclude the trade MOU were concluded during quarter four. The draft MOU is with state lawyers for certification. We participated in an IPSA workshop organized by India to enhance the implementation of the IPSA Agriculture Cooperation Tripartite Agreement. Agriculture strategy was approved by DECS. The Grain Value Chain Network document was approved by the Department of the Committee, and 410 farmers accessed marketing training. We hosted very successfully here in Cape Town a COFFEE SAO meeting. COFFEE is the United Nations or SAO's aquaculture organization. coming to program three. The program facilitates food security in the current reform. It facilitates and promotes food security in the current reform program and initiative. In the actual report, the pages that we're referring to are pages 26-29, so I'm going to look at that. A draft policy on the mechanization support model was developed, and a workshop with provinces on the FTC committee was held on the 9th of March 2012. I think what is important here, Honourable Members, is that we have been dispersing sectors, okay, without necessarily having a policy. I think the impulse to deliver went ahead of us having a proper framework to do it, but it is better to err on delivery than to err on working on policies. So we started off with the sectors, but now we have a policy on how those sectors in future will be distributed. 9,000 aging poor producers were identified for support in all provinces during this quarter. The needs analysis of these potential producers will be thoroughly analyzed and linked to support programs in an aside department. Draft food security policy was approved by the DGs and the Minister of Clusters, small achievement. The draft zero hunger strategy was approved by the DGs and Minister of Clusters. What is now remaining is for them to be presented to cabinet. We just needed some few buy-in from other departments so that we can have a common approach to governance. We don't have people rejecting some of the things and innovations that we're presenting. At the end of quarter four, 33,141 members received 50 different types of training facilitated by provinces, but provided by AgriCeta, Food Health Cita, Fiber Processing and Agriculture Cita, College of Agriculture and Universities. In pages 26-29. We completed the Agriculture Training Institute green paper, which is currently with the state advisor. The Agriculture Training Institute green paper. We want, through this intervention, to ensure that there's a common approach for the Agriculture Training Institute. That the quality is the same, and the services are almost the same, so that we can have uniform development in the sector. Good progress achieved during the quarter under review by Tsolo, Taung, and Glen Agricultural Colleges are already in the individual of the approved norms and standards. The draft consent paper on agriculture has been finalized and is tabled to the Expo for approval and for external consultation. As we said earlier, when we hosted the Female Entrepreneur of the Year, the sexual harassment policy. The policy framework on women empowerment in agriculture fisheries and gender policy have been finalized and be tabled at the relevant departmental executive committee subcommittees for noting and approval. Still in the same pages 26-29. The vulnerable workers delivery units have been established in four provinces: Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Limpopo, and Free State. We are awaiting, we've called on an independent evaluator of what has been achieved since that vulnerable farm worker summit was held in 2010. As at the end of quarter four, a total of 2,916 extension officers were trained in crop, livestock, and business related areas. 97 of these extension officers were trained in extension suit online. Position paper on the supplement of extension professional support has been developed. The norms and standards for extension and advisor services were reviewed and shared with the provinces. Moving on to program four, which is agriculture production, health and food safety. The strategic objectives of this section of this division is to manage risks associated with animal diseases, plant pests, and the carbon fiber organism, registration of products used in agriculture, promote food safety, and create an enabling environment for increased and sustainable agricultural production. Program 4, what it will benefit all categories of farmers, is basically for commercial farmers. I think it's important to know. So the things we're using here, the principal beneficiaries are commercial farmers. In the actual report, this is the pages 21-38. 153, 427 inspections were concluded at ports of entry a further 2,786 applications for new registrations, amendments, transfers, agricultural remedies, stock remedies, farm fees, fertilizer, and pest control operators were finalized. The seventh round of surveillance inside the avian influenza control area was completed in mid-December 2011. 192 farms, 178 of which were sampled, and 14 were found to have no hostages that could be sampled on the premises. The eighth and final round of surveillance inside the avian influenza control area was concluded at the end of February, and over 180 farms were visited and sampled. A single farm tested positive for H5N2, and on further investigation, the virus was typed as a low pathogenic AI. Agricultural production, health, and food safety will continue. During February 2011, there was limited foot and mouth disease surveillance instituted of the impala population along the inside of the southwestern boundary opposite the Pelenyani Lupisi cattle outbreak. No clinical cases were found. Prevalence surveillance for SMD in the production area of KZN was concluded at the end of February. The results of this are being analyzed. Mpumalanga reported an outbreak of FMD at one deep tank in the controlled area. A number of deep tanks were found to have been affected. Movement control measures were tightened and these deep tanks were put under quarantine. Five immediate reports, 31 follow-up reports were submitted to the OIE on diseases like African horse sickness, Rift Valley fever, highly pathogenic avian influenza, foot and mouth disease, Cordaceous equinopus, and episodic ulcerative syndrome, respiratory disease. A confirmation of an outbreak of African swine fever was received on January 1st, submitted by an apporteur in Gauteng. The animals that were released from the farm in Mpumalanga were followed up, and subsequently 14 farms were identified to have had in contact, 6 in Gauteng and 8 in Mpumalanga. A total of 210 pigs were reported to have died. All pig auctions in Gauteng and within Mpumalanga were stopped. On further follow-up, 84 farms in Mpumalanga and 48 farms in Gauteng were placed under quarantine. No new infections have been reported by both provinces since February 2012. I think, sir, as I'm calling to present this report, let me also share with the portfolio committee that Dr. Motisane was elected Deputy President of the OIE, the Global Organization Managing Diseases, last week. And I think that is something, it's a great achievement for the country, and it was supported by the entirety of the African continent. Our position on the management of horse sickness was adopted as an example of how that disease should be managed in the world. As I've said earlier on, we have asked the OIE to examine how we manage diseases so that they can strengthen us or if we're having weaknesses. But it is clear that they take our cadres that are dealing with diseases very seriously, since the election of Dr. Motisane. Confirmation of an African swine fever was received in July for some submitted by an apporteur in Gauteng. The animals had originated from The integration plan for grain services and food services have been finalized. Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the 50 provinces have started with the implementation. The draft health policy was approved by the minister and was published in the government gazette for public comment during April 2012. The planned health center bill regulated within the National Plant Protection Organization of South Africa for final consultation before being put into the process. In the Northwest, 635 indigenous animals kept by farmers were characterized, while 950 indigenous animals were characterized in the 50s. On farm conservation of genetic materials protected established in KwaZulu-Natal, the repatriation and planting of 49 accessions of indigenous crops were completed. Still continuing with the program 4, a total of 29,096 infection marks were registered up to end of quarter 4. 26 audits of export facilities up to the end of quarter four were conducted. There is scheme 538, there is also the medical recording and improvement scheme with 38, of which 38 are from the subsistence sector. Our financial the Como scheme, 1,376,000 beef cattle farmers participated in Kwana Fakaso, the Como advanced recording and improvement scheme. The following schemes are being finalized. Game meat scheme and abattoir rating scheme. I think that somewhat concludes what we've done. I want to emphasize this, we were doing this for commercial agriculture. In this regard, Chair, I want to make this point that we want to, because I think with regard to commercial agriculture has got its foot on the ground. This is a developed sector. What they need from us is us to have efficient systems. If they want to apply for something, they want us to do it efficiently. Okay? So they not only need money from us. They can go to the bank for money that they need, etc. They want us, in as far as they manage their farm and their agro-processing establishment, they want us to be efficient. Now, in that regard, we are undertaking a process of evaluating our system so that we can our turnaround times can be efficient, etc., etc. We are working, I think I might have reported this before, but at this time we've got the endorsement of the minister. We're working with, we're hoping to work with staff, SARS, because that's one of the best run companies in the country, both private and public. We want them to help us improve our system so that our turnaround system can be efficient and top-notch. So that's what we're doing for commercial agriculture. I want to make this point. Program 5, Forest and Natural Resources Management. Here we want to develop, the outcomes there is to develop and facilitate the implementation of policies and targeted programs to ensure management of forests, sustainable use and protection of land and water, as well as managing agricultural risks and disasters. These, in the actual report, these are on pages 40 to 42 for ease of reference. A total of 15,254 trees were planted nationally. The department and other stakeholders finalized the business plans for the support of charcoal production in Mzumkulu in KwaZulu-Natal. 3 NAC advisory, including the summarized versions, were issued for the sector. 84 daily extreme weather warnings were issued for the quarter under review. Emergency livestock feed has been distributed to the 3 districts that were affected by the fires in the Free State. In the same pages, locust outbreaks were controlled in 20 districts. 6,701 hopper pens, only 2 adult swarms, 1,071 mixed swarms were controlled by 254 control teams and 29 private teams on 810 farms. 40.23 quail were also controlled on 612 hectares. I want to say as well, Chair, that the principal beneficiaries of this are the big commercial forests. Even though we do work also for small water foresters, but it's important to emphasize that the principal beneficiaries of this program are commercial players. DAF delivered the Bohol Band in Mamelodi to the Stan Abu Party High School on 16th of March 2012. A personal audit for the Greater Wheat Bank Fire Protection Association was conducted. In terms of road maintenance, 161 kilometers maintained and opening, and 6 bridges that were damaged by fires were fixed and repaired, and 8 gabions were replaced. A total of 63 jobs were created through outsourcing copies and harvesting timber activities. In total, 1,609 small growers were supported during quarter four through, amongst others, planting of trees and technical advice. 100 small growers were assisted with the completion of registration forms for cooperatives. A total of 499.67 hectares of land were afforested. should learn care program. 6,524 job opportunities were created, which is equivalent of 20, which is equivalent to 28 full-time jobs. Program 6, this is fisheries management. Here, we seek to promote the development, management, monitoring, and sustainable use of marine living resources and the development of South Africa's fisheries sector. Sustainable levels will be achieved through aquaculture growth and fisheries economic development. Two aquaculture farm projects were implemented. Again, these are in pages 44 to 51. Jen. Two aquaculture farm projects were implemented. A total of 10 working for fisheries programs were implemented during a quarter under review. 1,252 jobs were created through working for fisheries programs during this quarter. A draft national program for sharks was submitted for the minister's approval before being published in the Government Gazette for public comment. Relevant and necessary scientific research has been conducted regarding the inshore fisheries sector. The revised framework for aquaculture research management was approved by DEXCO on the 15th of March 2012. This includes of five key fisheries, hake, abalone, squid, lionfish, and rock lobster, for the number of vessels in sea-based vessels, as well as investigation on the number of white soldiers, were also conducted. The experience and personal sales, I will invite the great Jacob Schatzwald, our CFO, to take us through this. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. And good morning to colleagues. I'll start with the programs. Administration spent 18.1% in the fourth quarter, which is 243 million. And then agriculture, production, health, and food safety spent 256 million. Food security and agrarian reform spent 424 million. And then the trade promotion and market access spent 43 million. Forestry spent 395 million. And then fisheries spent 83.7 million in the fourth quarter. Now, if we look according to economic classification, in the fourth quarter we spent 346 million on compensation of employees. And then goods and services, we spent 258 million. And then on total transfers, we spent 790 million. And then payments for capital assets, 51.6 million. And then if we go quarter by quarter, you'll notice that in total, administration for the whole year spent 99.6. That incorporates all the quotas. And then agriculture, production, health, and food safety spent 97.9%, which is 889 out of a budget of 908 million. And then food security and agrarian reform spent 1.249 billion out of a budget of 1.254 billion. And then trade promotion and market access, it spends 98.2% of their budget. And then forestry spent 907.6 million of 910 million budget. And then fisheries, I would say it spent almost 100% of their budget, which is 351.952 million, and then their budget was 351.971 million. And then coming back to economic classification, compensation of employees, almost 100% was spent, because 1.320 billion was spent out of a budget of 1.321 billion. And then goods and services, 674 million was spent out of the 675 million. Then in terms of transfers and subsidies, 2.8 billion was spent out of the budget of 2.81 billion. And then capital assets, 131.9 million was spent out of a budget of 1.569 million, which represent 84.1. Thank you, teacher.
To conclude, sir, we have challenges. What the first one transmitted. Systems for proper verification of provided figures of our children still need to be strengthened. Okay. Except for the number of jobs created, which we provided information for, there is no system to monitor the economic impact of projects, e.g. food security visas, total harvest, and total income earned. Now, one of the things we are doing here is part and parcel of gearing our rollout of the Zorohanga program is to begin to check even now. We know that in terms of the agri-BE chart, 10% of production is supposed to be put aside for black farmers. Okay? We also know that in terms of the Zorohanga program, if we're successful, that whole budget for food in schools, etc., hospitals, could easily be put aside where possible for smallholder farmers. We're trying now to model what would be the possible quantum intake of these smallholder farmers. That is, per this demand pool, how many people are likely to be drawn into it? Vis-a-vis our target. Okay? And as a result of this, we are already now exploring that we might want to, because we think that this the demand pool may not be as big as we hope it could be. We are already exploring other interventions that we can ensure that these smallholder farmers that we are mobilizing to product action can have the requisite pool. So we are exploring quite a number of things. I think at the right time, maybe. Will again come and present those. So we're trying now to look at the sustainable potential of the agrarian reform program. What is the sustainable potential? As we say, we do not have the tool to continue monitoring or to measure the sustainable process after the industry. So that is, after we've worked, after we've established a farmer, we've got a market, etc., how do we keep monitoring those people again? We think that as we roll out the Zorohanga program, those will be the practical issues that will help to resolve. The good thing, though, is that we're working together in rolling out this program. We're working together with organized agriculture, particularly those that are most affected by the Zorohanga, that is your NAFU and your AFASA. We want them to be at the helm of the rollout of the program. They work with us here. We've opened up the date to civil society. So civil society plans and things and works with us in the rollout of the plan. In terms of the way forward, we are trying to strengthen monitoring through an intensive SMS sequence parties deployment by including oversight in all SMS performance agreements. So, as I said, we have deployed all our SMS people to all the sequence parties. But we also want to include that in the performance agreement that people must report and be evaluated to the extent which they keep in touch with those areas that they've been deployed to. If they do not do that, then of course they won't get their bonuses and they will also be liable for corrective measures. As I said earlier on, we are in the process of concluding an agreement with us to install an electronic system amongst others, not just only to enhance monitoring and evaluation of the impact of projects. We're also working with CSIR in terms of playing, because they've got a very advanced system that can look at the type of soil, type of water. As we roll out our agriculture program, we already know before people get the plant, the equipment there, we already know the potential of this land and what it would have to be done. We know what are the aquifers, what are the is the water, the underground water, etc. Always working closely with also with CFIR to help for them to bring their clients into those interventions. Well, first question, the expansion of the Brazil of the smart pen across all the 9 provinces by essential officers for data collection and for ease of reference. Now, the issue of this smart pen, honorable member, is you will, being in Pretoria, know where each extension officer is. If you've got smart pen, you can use through the computer, okay, and know that so-and-so was supposed to have visited this area. He didn't go there. The computer system picks that up. And immediately when he writes his report through the pen, it gets immediately, simultaneously, into our computer system. When he reports wherever he is, we all know that he was there. We can verify that's what science does. Someone wrote about this in 1852, that we live in that era one day, and we're already in that era. Strengthening and mentoring and training through the ME Forum, which is made up of national and professional training and monitoring and evaluation officials. So we are working together with provinces to strengthen our monitoring of our work, as well as working with working groups between national and provincial departments. I want to say, Chair, as I conclude, that we have improved our relations with our provinces quite significantly. Every month, I meet the HODs, not every quarter, every month, or at least their delegates, to their dedicated people, to oversee the implementation of the Zero Hunger program. So, and I think maybe it may be useful soon to come and report to the portfolio committee how far we are now giving provincial wide reports on how far we are in the implementation of that program. With that, Chair, thank you very much for your generosity and your patience.
Members, that gives us a fourth quarter. We have also just received as well the research paper on the subject that we're dealing with. Any takers? A few points have been raised, obviously. I think the question that the DG, you know, is raising is very important. Well, once again, it talks about thinking out of the box. Two main things: grow sustainably the commercial sector whilst giving all the necessary support to a smallholder sector. I think that those are quite telling points. You might wish to frame anything and everything that you do in the sector. I saw a hand, Mr. Mandela.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I when we see these plans, and I don't always want to be negative, but when I hear figures like Minister Langa Zita had said, about 21,000 smallholder farmers out, 40,000 hectares of area was planted in the report, then I would like to go and visit each and every one of them. And I would like to have a name list, an address, and how much money was spent on each one, and what specifically was done to each of these 21,000 people, so I can go and visit them. I mean, you know, if you help 21,000 people, it's quite a considerable amount of people, and 40,000 hectares of land is quite big, you know, very, very big. And I would like to see it. I'm sure it won't always be at the same spot. It will be all different, but it is quite a lot. So, and one of the things that I also picked up is on a page, and I want to hook it onto that question, is on page 22 of the presentation, where on the bottom, through the land care program, 6,524 jobs opportunities were created, which is equivalent to 28 full-time employment jobs. So if you employ, if you have 26 or 6,500 job opportunities, and in the end it just equates to 28 full-time jobs, and if I do my mathematics right, then these 6,500 people each got about 300 rand. Now, how can that be a job opportunity? I mean, what can you do with 300 rand? You might buy one bread every day for the whole month. That's it. 300 rand finish if you can get so much. How can you say that that is a job opportunity? I think all these figures are taken out of context. It's, it's just hard to swallow for me. Then you talk about programs, reports, and decisions that was taken by Dexco. I would like to see those reports and outcomes from Dexco. And then I want to turn to fisheries. Oh yeah, I want to know these, all these figures. That's who goes and makes sure that these are the right figures, who verifies them. And the same with the figures that the minister has named there with when she said that agriculture is in a growing phase and it has created the most jobs in this country for the last quarter, and it has turned around from 1970 where it was a job shedder. Who gives Stats SA these figures? Or do they go out and they do a visit to the places and then they make up their own figures? Or do they get it from you, actually, the department? And then they publish it in a book. Because it's quite important if the minister keeps saying, go and ask Stats SA, go and ask Stats SA. But if they get the figures from you, you know, it puts a question mark on those figures. Then there was on the fishing, I want to turn to the fishing sector now, where in this, oh yeah, this is another thing. If you talk about the fourth quarter report, you always only talk about the good things, but there are lots of things that did not happen that you said will happen. And I just want to take one or two, which you just, you know, conveniently just forget to mention, you know. It's like the increase of the number of fishing harbors. You said the target was 3. And you have now said, okay, well, we are reviewing that program. We are not getting there. You talk about the increase of the number of farms, fish farms, from 84 to 124. And then your target is 3. And you only do 2. So you're not doing your work. Or you have very ambitious targets and you will never reach them. That is also not a very good way of doing business, because if you have targets, you budget according, and then you should be able to get the outcomes that you say you will be getting. Because it creates a lot of expectation from us as parliamentarians. If you give us a report that you are going to do certain things, and then in the end of the year, you know, you say, oh, sorry, we didn't reach it, so let's do it next year, you know, and then next year, and then next year, and then next year. In 18 years' time, we still haven't done anything. And then you don't say anything about in what dire straits our fishing sector is at the moment. I mean, we have research vessels that are sitting in Simonstown, and the Navy doesn't even know how to start them. And then we say here on page number 47, and I read to you that you do the offshore demersal research trawl survey, was completed in January and February. However, the March and April survey has been cancelled, which will compromise the recommendations for all three sectors. Not only will there be an immediate impact on the total allowable catch for 2013, but it will have long-term negative effects on the industry by compromising its MSC certification. That is an international code where other countries will not be allowed to buy our fish if we cannot prove to them that our total allowable catch is the real one, and it's not a thumb suck like the other things, you know. And then it says, particularly as the Scientific Observer program has also been terminated. This is a program where we put scientists on boats, and then they have to make sure that what the people are saying they are catching are actually what they are catching. So it measures that we don't have coaches out there, and we put people on boats to do this, and we have cancelled that program now. So there goes our international qualification for everybody to buy fish from us. That is about a 5 billion rand industry that is now on the verge of collapse. Oh, that's quite significant. But Mr. Langa Zita, he doesn't talk about it. And this is in our quarter report. I just want to know why he doesn't talk about, you know, the things that they don't do and the immediate dangers there are. You know, we are a portfolio committee. We might be able to help you if you ask for help. But then again, you might never want to ask for help. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of it. I think this report is inadequate, and I can't see that we go forward with reports like this. I mean, surely you must come and report to us your failures as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Sekera,
that was Mama Pirus Mason and the other.
Thank you, Chair. DG, one is thank you for your openness regarding the characters. I think we've been engaging each other with something. I won't worry about it. The training of extension officers, are they getting any qualifications for the training? And what is the link between the national extension officers and the provincial extension officers? What I then mean by link, are the ones in the provinces getting the same training? Because it's very important. Then the second one is your smallholder farmers. What type of support were these smallholder farmers given? It's not clear what type of support they were given. I think I'll just pause on that one, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation by the DG. Chairperson, fortunately, some of my points have been covered by the honourable member who has raised the issue of identifying the areas where these developments have been taking place so that one could be referring to say, to residency. But my main point, a lack of understanding from my side, Chairperson, is with the issue of this consistent farmers, subsistence, yes. I want just to be clear on that one. By subsistence farming, are we referring to these people in communal land that are being assisted by tractors, or maybe it's a different type of farming that is being referred to. And Chairperson, I was very touched by seeing the fact that the department has gone out to assist in road maintenance and sort of raising this gap in baskets. Farmers, sure, farmers mostly. These are the should I say the developing farmers or the smallholder farmers in the rural areas. I have a great problem with, or a challenge with regards to the maintenance of roads in their short fields. Then I wonder then which areas, if any, where the department has engaged in assisting those farmers, because currently what has been observing, traveling around, is that these emerging children farmers in our areas, in communal land areas, are not at all assisted. During the harvest time, unfortunately, it used to rain. As a result, the trucks and tractors could not get closer to the part of sections where the harvest is being dropped, prepared for the heavy haulage to take them to the milling company. As a result, those harvests end up drying up, and
when time comes for the trucks to take them to the mill, they are just useless. They don't have a good weight to make up the mess in the mill. And again, Chairperson, there is a challenge when these people are taking up their harvest to the mill. Today they will be told the mills are only dealing with the harvest. Tomorrow they will be told they want surplus if there is a good rain and the harvest seems to be having a good mess or cages on delivery, then they will be told it's only surplus that is needed on the shopping. How then is the department engage with these milling companies just to assist our people, because they end up not at all getting what they should be getting. Thank you, Chairperson.
And what Mama says?
Thank you, Chairperson. On Dora Grant, it is written there that in for Eastern Cape and Gauteng are the only provinces which did not spend all their available funds. And I just want to find the reasons why they did not do that. And again, on page on TechTag, DG, today you said it on that day. We have been dishing this TechTag with our policy. Maybe now, because the policy will be there, then this project will run when it should run. On page 13, the vulnerable workers delivery units have been established in four provinces. I just want to be clarified the remaining provinces, what is happening there, and when will that be established? And again, and the performance report, it is reported that 21,192 new smallholder producers were identified, and nothing is said about support. And how do they get support from ORA? How will they get support from the department? And concerning the finances, when I look at it, I think the department has done well concerning the finances, because if you check the 100%, 99.9, 91.3, 90, except this smaller capital assets payments for it, there's one week with 84.1%. I just want to find out what is the problem there, why these finances were not adequately used. And I will come back later. Thank you.
Mr. Abram?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to thank the DG for the presentation. But Chairperson, the more I read through this presentation, the more worried I become. You know, our country is currently, well, let's put it this way. I don't know of anyone here that does not have a slice of bread every day, at least. It's a staple food. Our production of wheat this season has dropped. We are in the throes of importing 4 billion rand, or say 1.7 million tons of wheat this year, basically from Argentina. And the quality of that wheat is said to be not so kosher. You'll have to mix it with our own meat, wheat in order to get something worthwhile out of it. Now, Chairperson, in this entire report, we talk about food security globally, but we don't enter into that terrain and say that these are the sort of interventions that are going to be necessary in order to provide food security. And yeah, wheat is the one that comes to my mind immediately. So, Chairperson, what bothers me is, sorry, I don't want to use that language, but, you know, I was taught never to say something to please anybody. I must say it as it is, and the way I see it. I hope I'm not wrong. But, Chairperson, this seriously brings the integrity of this whole document into question. I'll give you one or two examples. When you talk of 21,152 or 92 new smallholder farmers that were established in the last financial year, I did a quick mental calculation. It gives you approximately 58. If you spread them over the 12 months, 365 days, including public holidays, to establish. Now, please, Chairperson, you know, in previous years, we came nowhere near such numbers. How did we succeed in getting that done? I question the veracity of that information. Likewise, Chair, if I look through this whole presentation, I would like to hear from the DG and the department. How did they get that done? It's an Herculean task. Then, Chairperson, you take, for example, the whole issue of, well, this page is not numbered, and there are two pages here in this Power Punch presentation, which both have number 10 on it, but this is two or three pages before number 9, without a number. But it says here, 391 of 741 projects are reported to have been completed. By whom? Who reported it? What is the veracity of that report? Did you make sure that what they've told you is in effect what has happened? Because you see, the manner in which this particular point is projected, it makes you wonder whether these things are in effect to be seen on the ground. Then it says here, Chairperson, in that same presentation, that of this projects, 191 projects were completed during quarter four. So out of the 391, within one quarter, half of them were completed. The others took 9 months. Now, Chairperson, like that, I can point out many things here that, you know, might be pleasing to some eyes. But unfortunately, to my eye and my feeble little brain, it tells me that there is something gravely wrong. And therefore, Chairperson, I have a grave problem accepting that everything that's being said here are achievements. Now, I've got a couple of straightforward questions, Chair. You have said here that Ilima Letsima created 1,896 permanent jobs. I would love to know what is the department's interpretation of a permanent job in agriculture. Love to know that. You could tell us what that means. Then, sir, it says that there were food security projects that were rolled out to 30,932 households, 26 schools, 1,197 community gardens. Now, fine, Chairperson, you can roll these things out. Firstly, I doubt whether this number was achieved. But let us assume that it was. What were the outcomes? How did the people benefit out of it? That is what counts. I'm not really concerned, Chairperson, whether the total budget has been spent 100%, yes or no. My concern is, how was it spent? Did it bring the desired outcomes? So we would like to know whether that happened, Chair. We have, for example, in the last year, in this particular financial year, we have had tremendous problems with regard to diseases. The report talks about it, the H5N2, and then you had the foot and mouth, you had the African swine fever, you have the African horse sickness, you have a tremendous number of diseases. Now, if you take the Rift Valley fever, for example, I want to say it very boldly, Chair, that the Rift Valley fever and the fact that the vaccination that was developed had had negative effects in various situations, that Rift Valley fever was a direct cause of meat prices being shooting up so high that it was out of control for ordinary citizens to buy beef or mutton. It was totally out for them. And the Rift Valley fever is, in my humble opinion, directly responsible for what that had happened. It has actually damaged the livestock sector to the tune of at least 30% of what the sector was supposed to produce during that particular financial year. Now, Chairperson, there is not a word about the effects of these things, not a word about how it has impacted on the industry, and not a word about what is being done. Now, Chairperson, that is the kind of information that I believe this committee should be entitled to. We should know. How has it impacted the lives of people downstream? Another question, Chairperson, is this assertion that Kaona Kafatso has provided a list of 1,376 subsistence beef cattle farmers who have had benefits from Kaona Kafatso. I have in the past asked the ARC to give us a list of the people that have benefited out of it. I never saw anything in the years that I've been asking it. I'm asking the department now, since it's part of your presentation, to tell us exactly who these people are and what their benefits are. Chairperson, now let's go to what people say on the ground. Now, okay, you may turn around and say that, yes, agriculture is unfortunately a concomitant function. The provinces are basically the implementers. But then I expect of National, who makes available the budgets, to see that the provinces are carrying out what they're supposed to carry out. And here I just want to mention to you quickly what I had received by email. We have been operational since 1 January 2010 till today without any direct government assistance in alleviating our problems. These people are chicken producers. By the way, previously disadvantaged people. We know that being operational doesn't mean automatic government funding. But what saddens us is the funding of one project over and over again that collapses when government funds dries up. And I would like to have a response to this. How many times have we gone along and allowed money to fall into a bottomless pit where we can see that the people are unfortunately not really interested in doing something, and yet we finance it over and over and over again? Chairperson, just one or two other little issues that bother me. For example, the the department talks here quite glibly about the outcomes in terms of the extension recovery plan. It says here that there are currently 3,224 extension officers. Now, Chairperson, what I would like to see is I would like to see a list of those 3,224 extension officers, their office details, where they are based, and their contact numbers. Because let me tell you, I have in the last decade or so never ever seen an extension officer anywhere near the places where I operate. I don't know what they look like. Whether they, you know, they've fallen from heaven, I wouldn't know. But I would love to have that list so that I can, and other members can, make available in wherever we are to people the details of such people who are supposed to be walking the road and taking the hands of our people on the ground to assist them on the road ahead. The department plans to implement a targeted commodity-specific research and development programs, and have service-level agreements, apparently, signed on such projects. The department managed to develop, as yet unsigned from what I understand, SLAs with the ARC to carry out research and development projects. What has been the reason to have the SLAs with the ARC, as it is not the only R&D institution in the country? It's not the only one that's doing R&D in terms of agriculture. In fact, the results that one gets from private companies that are doing research because they want to market their products seem to be far more superior than what the ARC provides. And as the ARC only deals with agriculture, what about forestry and fisheries research? What are we doing in terms of that? Chairperson, I've asked quite a bit, but may I just say that I believe that whatever I have asked is important to be asked, and I must honestly say, Chair, that I get extremely worried when I read things that look to me, with all due respect, as cut and paste. We seem to have a strategic plan, and all we do is take that plan and say, right, listen, this is what we said we want to do or achieve, and let's just put in these figures in here. Because I promise you, Chairperson, I will firstly wait a very long time before I ever see a list of these extension officers. I'll wait a very long time, perhaps never, to get a list of the Kaona Kafatso beneficiaries. And that's a source of bother, Chair. We are not here to be critical of the department for the purpose of being critical. We are here, Chairperson, because we have in this coming year now a 8 or 9 billion rand budget. And this is not small change. Might not be sufficient, but it is not small change. And if we are not achieving what we are supposed to be achieving, Chair, makes it very difficult. And it worries me, Chair, that I'm expected to accept that 21,192 smallholder farmers were established in 365 days, if we had worked the 365 days. 58 farmers per day, Chair. I would like to see, in fact, I should go a step further, Chair. Give us the details of those 21,192 new farmers that we established. When were they established? Where are they established? So that if I have the money, I would travel on my own to go and see these people and see how they are doing, how they are faring. So, Chairperson, in short, please, Department, when you present the document here, see that the document can be cross-referenced. I mean, we have contacts throughout the country also where we can find out. And one more thing, Chair, that we never seem to get right is every time, Chair, I'm concluding, every time, Chair, I complain about this. And you alluded to it today, Chairperson, that you too have frustrations. There are a number of issues that you have been asked to follow up, take up, and you get no response. Same year, not even an acknowledgement, Chair. I have done it far in all my engagements with the department, and I've stopped now. I don't ask the department for anything anymore because I don't even get an acknowledgement, Chair. And that is one of my frustrations. Thank you.
Mr. Van Dalen, you are the first person since 2009 we have been in this committee to have been behaving like this. When any member of the committee speaks, we all listen. We don't do the gestures that we do. They are out of order. You can imagine if anybody else was to be saying the same thing, this meeting will be a chaos. We don't allow that. Thank you. Mrs. Nyalungu, followed by Baba Masango.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DJ. Some of my questions are already alluded by my colleagues. And then, still on the tractor issue, I just want to check if ever the two provinces that are already provided with those tractors, are they working according to your plan, or is there any monitoring on that tractor? And then the second one, in the previous engagement with the committee, you stated to the committee that CASP was for assisting smallholder farmers, and Ilimalesima is for subsistence farmers. Yet in the performance report, the department reported that 71,856 smallholder farmers received support through CASP and Ilimalesima. The department, can you give the clarity on this, and include the kind of support that was provided? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG, for the presentation. Just a few questions. And the first one is a very welcome announcement you made at the beginning of your presentation. You reported that you have a list of senior managers that have been deployed to various municipalities. We would like to know how we can access that list and the contact details in the various municipalities. We would also like to know, Honorable Chair, what services are these managers going to render to the communities in these municipalities so that we can make the people aware that there is this help coming? Because people, especially in those rural municipalities, are screaming out for help. So if you have deployed these people to help the communities down there, we would like to know in which way. I was very impressed to hear that 13,014 farmers have been assisted to access markets. Because in agriculture, in agricultural engagement, markets are key. But, Chair, I would like to know from the DG whether he can help communities who have got unresponsive markets down there. You find that you are producing, and in your neighborhood, sometimes there is a hospital. They need your vegetables, they need your fruit, but you can't access because they won't buy from you. They buy from a certain selected provider. So So is there anything that the department can help people to persuade the potential markets around them to allow or to take stock from them? You find that there is a boarding school, they need food, they need fruit, vegetables, they need fruits, but they are going to tell the local provider that, no, 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 we are buying from so and so. Then I was also very happy to know that we now have a policy, a mechanization policy with regard to tractors, because there is a lot of conflict on the ground when it comes to who qualifies for a tractor, who uses the tractor, how does the community benefit from the tractor. Once there is a policy, I think we can assist those people to say, no, 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 don't fight over these things. There is a policy. And if we can get just a summary of the details of that policy. Then my last question, my last concern is on the training program. Again, I was impressed to hear that 33,141 members of our community received training in 50 different types of training. Now, the question is, how do people become aware of this service, very useful service? Maybe, how does the department identify? Maybe for commercial farmers, they have their list and they can approach them. I'm thinking here of a smallholder farmer and a subsistence farmer. How is he made aware of these possibilities? Because without training, our people cannot engage in profitable farming, because it has become a science. So training is essential, but how are the people made aware? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, can I just take a quick one, DG? My mind will just be very pointed, you know, short. The objective of the Tilibala Forum. What is that Tilibala Forum? Make mention about it. Higher education is also involved in agricultural colleges or FET, and what's the relationship? If there's any agreement, again, vulnerable workers, delivery units, just an understanding on that one. So, there are those inspections that take place at point of entry. A figure is given there, 153,427. We went on an oversight visit to next Maputo, or rather Mozambique. And then there was a very big issue about fencing, whose role gets to be that of putting up a fence. Because the army, police, it is Home Affairs rather, not the police or the Department of Agriculture, with that coordinated structure. Among other things that we came across was, or rather we did, was to visit the parts that were quarantined in the northern part of KZN, which are affected by the FMD, foot and mouth disease. We were meant to receive a report from the department on some work in progress that is taking place, because there were some tests that were going to be conducted. The issue there was about more to do with the fact that some animals, especially from black people, were not allowed to go through some roadblocks, but some animals from white commercial farmers would have been able to go through to the market. And then there was a bit of an issue in those areas around Chozini, then those areas. The issue remains unresolved about the ban of our fruits, deciduous fruits in Thailand. Whether this could be an issue for now or for later, I'm mentioning it because of some of the programs that we're involved in. The last one, I'm keen on the growth of your smallholder to commercial farmer. My area of interest is that of any measurements that are put in place to an extent you are able to say over the past 5 years there shall have been this target number, 500 over that period. What I would suggest we do, members, we quickly go out for 10-minute tea break and then come back. I will find that. Can we be back here by 11:30? In fact, can we start by 11:30?
Yeah. coming from? Where are you? Oh, yeah, by the way, I could hear the ring. I forgot the scene. But, okay, when are you coming back? No, I think that, you know, we're in Parliament. I have a quick question. Just concern about when cooking mutton chops. Have you been in touch with what they are cooking with mutton chops? I'm in Parliament, and just a quick question that came up about the banning of the Thailand fruit. I think the last time I checked, it was around the
Settle down. We are 3 minutes after the time we were supposed to start.
according to this watch. Without waste of time, the DG shall take us through the responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the challenge you faced by the DG. I need you to go out. Thank you for protecting my dignity. On the first question, that firstly, I think that we need to clarify. We have mentioned in the report that there are about 27,000 smallholder producers that have been supported by us. Okay? Those are separate. Okay? And then there are the 21,000, that is the new one that we were mentioning. I want to say, so if you look at them together, it's a fairly significant number. It's a thing that Honorable Abraham is not here. Because I would have wanted to answer, because he consistently asked this question. And if it, when he comes to say, I would really like to convey that report to him. Now, if you look at both of those, the numbers are fairly significant. Look at the 21 plus 21,000. Now, the 21,000, we've got at least a list of where they are and how many they are per project. They are here. For instance, we know in the Vembe district, we've got 74 producers. In Mutale, in Vembe, in Tulamela, it's 74. In Mutale, it's one. In Musina, it's 34. In Makadu, it's 4,841. We've got those numbers, okay? And where they are. We even have their IDs, those who agreed to give us their IDs. Others don't want to give us their IDs. Now, this latter group, this 21,000 that the Honorable Fontaine would like to visit, we, even those who are in CAF, because this is a record, we record it because we've given them money, so we have recorded, we've given them support, we know who they are. Even those that are in Liberty Stima, we know who they are and where they are. So I think that information can be made available to Honorable members, so that, including, I've asked the team that I want them to even include their cell phone so that if maybe one does not fancy going to them, at least you can phone them and talk to them, ask them whether they are part of this project or not. So that information will come to this year of those 21,000, but we'll also give you the list of those who are CAF beneficiaries and Limalitima beneficiaries with their conduct and everything. So I was saying, Honorable Abraham, because you asked this question, that we have identified, we've sent our officers on the ground, have gone out district by district, and they have met these farmers. They have identified their needs, they have seen what they are involved in. Some of the 21,000 do not as yet have support from us, but we've identified them. We know who they are and what. They are already involved in production. Okay? And then there are those that are in CAF, okay, who have approved support for them, and there are those in Masisa, particular, that we've given loans to. So all of those people are there, their names of them, etc., and all those names were, and who they are and where they live would be made available. There is one list here already. Now, you asked again, Honorable Van Dalen, to who verifies this information. The staff essay information is done by Statistics South Africa. We have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do. They tell us, each of them will tell us how many jobs have been created. We don't know this. We do know what we're just creating the environment, doing all the necessary interventions. People are picking up those interventions. We see from them that people have picked up these things, this is what we're seeing. And it's a very objective process. That is supposedly the statistic organization for the country. Staff by people who studied this thing at university, who know what they're doing. They have a stat. I'm not a fool of statistics, but they are there. Statistics general, these are very educated people. Then, again, Okay, I think the issue of aquaculture, I will ask Dr. Mashaba to comment on it. I thought someone else was going to ask all the questions, but I'd like to see if you can hear me. What I want to say on the, I don't want to say much on the fishing itself, because I think honorable members know that there was a contract with the Patrol Convention that came to an end, and we had to find other ways of giving the service. And we went to the Navy, we got an agreement with the Navy for about a year managing that for us. Of course, there will always be different problems. But what I do want to say is that there might have been challenges associated with take survey, but definitely the pelagic survey is going ahead. I work very closely with industry. I talk with them. All the challenges, they advise me. I've got a very, very good relationship with the industry. We talk all the time. They, when they find that what are the problems, they phone, they assist. Okay, and it's been a very, so whatever the challenges, they understand the challenges that we face as a department, and they've always been willing, even now, as I'm saying, I'm speaking. In case we've got problems with the territory survey, okay, one of the companies in the country is ready to pick up and do it for us. Okay, okay. In case they put it as a fine, then we said we've done our own duty, we're ready, so that in case we've got challenges, we are ready, we put everything aside so that we can help you do this. So that is the kind of goodwill that is in the industry, and I work with industry. And I think people can double check with industry players themselves. Coming to Honorable Gaylor, we have the list of the extension officers, Honorable Gaylor. We'll make it available for you. Coming to Undavelvit. And on the, on, in terms of smallholder support, sorry, I'm not forgetting.
Maybe what might be of help, Tishi, just to assist each other. We should be able to say, when you respond by way of saying we will make it available, we also be specific as
when.
By when.
This one I've just spoken to. This one, this other one here, over 21,000 here, can be photocopied today, given to people. They can follow up, at least 11% of that. Okay? This other one of past beneficiaries, etc., etc., it's a pity that there was that challenge we came to present here. But that information is there, so it's not to be found there. So we can again make it available this week, the CAF one.
On CAF. Members, as I mentioned last week, we're working towards the 12th of June for that presentation. I think a letter has been sent and written to the department. But also, what we want to do, because we also are extending an invitation to the MECs and also to the chairpersons, we also are working towards collaborating with the NCOP. And at the same time with the Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. So that's the kind of collaborative effort that we're working on.
Yeah. We put aside a briefing for a day so that with the HODs being here, so that people can report and account correctly of what we're doing across the country around our country. On small border support, Honorable Gaylor, as you are aware, we got the CAF. The way we are now presenting CAF, we are trying to move away for individual on-farm infrastructure to collective infrastructure, so that we can say, for instance, if people do not have a storage facility in a particular area, we ensure that that's done. If there's not a tipping tank, if there's not a feedstock crop, we ensure that these collective assets are there that can then enhance the work of the various. That is the kind of shift we're bringing in, particularly in the context of the Rwanda program. Of course, the challenge is with the storage facilities, etc. We think the market will be almost assured. So that happens in terms of caste, again in terms of mafisa, people will, I mean, those who want to get access to loan will be assisted. That remains part of what we are now saying. Before we approve any application, people must indicate to us that there's a market available. Without market, no support. Okay? Because we want people, we want fully integrated citizens who can be like other people in the urban areas, who are active economic citizens and on a sustainable basis. And if you don't have a market, you are not a sustainable, you are not an equal citizen. So that's a Republican machine on our side to ensure that everyone is equal. Then coming to the issue that Ndabezita raised, we think defining subsistence farmers. For us, subsistence farmers are people who produce to feed themselves, who produce food that they consume. Okay? Small farmers are people, they may consume a little bit, but principally produce for the market. And our view is that if we're going to transform South Africa and reduce inequality in South Africa, the latter is more important. Okay? We're not saying that it should not produce food for themselves. Okay? We're not saying that, but we're saying that if really we're going to ensure that people participate are included in the economy, it is better that they are able to. Because if you've got a market, if you're producing whether it's vegetables or if you're producing chicken after two months, you can start another cycle. So throughout the year you're producing. Yeah? You are a completely integrated person in the economy. So that's our ambition. That's what we want to achieve. You also mentioned the issue of sugar, smallholder farmers in the sugar industry. We had almost a half a day discussion with the leader of the sugar industry, who came to see us, particularly after we had informed the country about the current and direction of zero hunger. So they came over to have a more discussion there. This is the dominant sugar industry. And I want to say that with regard to the sugar industry, we give chairperson to their association, because they are one of our intermediaries. Yeah? And we've made a commitment that we will probably even double the amount of course. We think that the kind of impact we can have in the case again in particular would be enormous. Because people there are used to sugar production, the land is good for it, etc., etc. We think that if we increase that kitty, many smallholder farmers in KZN in particular will come into production and be involved in sustainable economic activity. So that's one. The second other thing that we think as we roll out this program I have to mention this. Okay. We've got the SMS deployment, so members can see who these people are, when they are, you can be in touch with them. Every member will have a copy for that. So what we're saying on smallholder success in the, we are in particular. In the context of the zero hunger, some of the problems that we're raising that will come through. Okay? For instance, you mentioned the problems of roads. Okay? But it is difficult for us to see these problems unless people are enrolled in a program that implements the program. We pick up what are the weaknesses here. In the past, we've been assuming that people on their own, will find their feet. And I think that. At least modern economies are always led by 20% of society. The other 80% only comes in as employees. Okay? So you cannot assume that 80% all of a sudden will have entrepreneurial orientation. We have got as a state to push them on that entrepreneurial direction. So we think that a program, an organized program, such as the Solana one, can therefore, one of the things, for instance, we have scheduled. Again, we were asking what are the kind of support measures for smallholder farmers. We're going to have now a technical workshop, including other players, on the technical needs of smallholder farmers. Okay? Because a smallholder farmer may not need the same tractor that a commercial farmer has. Okay? He may probably these small things that you can walk behind and put in petrol in crisis. That are about 50,000 rand. Okay? He may need the new ways of weeding that you can put, slip it on your shoulder and do the and spray the pesticide or whatever. They may need, but because South Africa's agriculture was built on a commercial basis, it has not been always sensitive to the needs of smallholder farmers. That's why we as the state have to lead that process, because the historical experience of South African agriculture, you know, for small guys, for big guys. And though the technical capacity, the critical direction is for big guys. So we are coming to the state, so we are scheduling a technical workshop that will look at these technical needs of the smaller players. Mr. Chantoyo will speak to the to a question, Mrs. On why people do not use all the money. On the issue of vulnerable workers units, again, Mr. Usomi will talk to that. Coming to the, I think, to the issues that were raised by Honorable Abraham, I want to say first that the report, we may not have spoken about what we're doing on wheat, because we may not have spoken on what we're doing on wheat. Okay? But we take the point that you're making, that we have to find a challenge for us. Our report was strictly for what we had said we were going to do in the last quarter of 2011-2014. So we restricted our report to that. But I think that our experts in the department may indicate what it is that we're doing, for instance, on wheat. We've developed commodity strategy. I think wheat is one of those that we've got a strategy on. And in the working out of our strategy and both in the implementing, we're working with organized agriculture. I think I've mentioned the issue of the veracity of the 1,000 farmers, but they are here, where they are, etc. They are here, and the names will not be here. The place where they are and how many they are to see.
Listen, did the DG say that the names are not there, but what is there in that document?
What is here in the document is which distribution files they are from, the name of the local municipalities, the number of producers that are involved, and the type of enterprise, what are they producing. The other information that we want is available, but it is not in the document. But we can tell you where people are, how many they are. Okay. And in the office, there is even information of what is their name, what is their contact, what their IDs. Those who wanted to give us IDs, others don't want to give us IDs. But we have identified 21,000 people already involved in agriculture who are not as yet linked to us, but we're going to link with them with our support system. But they are already 21,000 across the country that our own officers on the ground have identified.
Sorry, Chairperson, can I then just request that when we are given that list, the final list, that it would be made clear as to when those people were established and all their contactable details. We need that, Chair. Thank you.
I think the issues around this is Mr. Ramaswati can handle that. Again, I think the point that Honorable Abraham was mentioning about this chicken, the image from the chicken producers that other people are permanently being supported, I think it's a very important point. It's a very important point. We would like to get those details. We would like to get those details of these people, this deck. Or dark hole that is getting support all the time, yet nothing is coming out of that. And those other chicken producers, if they want any form of support from us, the support we give in the department is universal support. Any citizen qualifying should get it. It's universal support. You don't even demand much collateral. You give people support. Only, these are the only people in the colony that get financial support without demanding collateral. So, and that's transformation, that's a game that this government has put on the table, not small achievement. To give people money without collateral is a massive transformative achievement.
the issue of the extension officers, who they are, etc. We've got those details, Honorable Program, of what the extension officers. We'll make them available to you. So we can do this before the end of this week. Can you make that list available to Honorable Program? We'll make that list available
to all members.
On forest research, I think Dr. Rampage will comment on this. I do think, though, that we are having research forestry. We are having relationships between investors on forest research. We have not reported it, but I don't think Dr. Rampage should go to town on this. Our report may not be adequate, Chair, but they certainly are not cut and paste. We spent 4 days at Paris in the state. We brought in Mr. Mdambo, the former DG of Gauteng, who is now a private consultant, the first DG of Gauteng, to help us think through our plans for the year, to shepherd us through, help. For the because we are trying for once to have serious anchor in supporting formerly unsupported people in terms of comprehensive support to them. So we are trying to re-engineer the entire focus of the department was that supporting commercial agriculture in general. So we are trying to come in with other interventions. So it's still a transitional period, but as you can see, without having the facts around it. We've got information, we're not just claiming things, we are forgiving the fact. So it's not cut and paste. Yeah? It may not be adequate, it may have serious weaknesses, but it's certainly issues that we're planning that we have come together to think through in the interest of our country. So it's definitely not cut and paste. On the issue of service level agreement, the ARC, it is, you see, in an unequal society as the one that we have, if individuals in the ARC do not have capacity to do research, okay, then the poor will never get research. The poor farmers will never get any new cultivars, any new methods of production. They'll never get those things, okay, if the state doesn't provide those things for them. Okay, so it is very important that even if the ARC is weak, and it gets weak after 1994, when it was taken over by black people, most of the skills that were left there, okay? It has everything to do with the democratic breakthrough. Okay? Now, we have got to rebuild the ARC to what it was before, a premier research institution for agriculture. I hope Honorable Abraham is not suggesting that we should privatize research and that we should look at private solution for research. I hope you're not suggesting that at the expense of the public capacity of the ARC.
Yeah, President, I just want to say I've always pleaded for more funding for the ARC, but they must pull up their socks.
Thank you. Then, Mrs. Nyalunga, on the monitoring of the tractor, I think with the new policy, it will help talk to this. What I can say is that the policy has been developed is in the consultant department. But we still have got, it's still a 2% to oversight for us to endorse it and oversee. But the necessary technical consultations have been done in the department. It will help look at issues of the monitoring of the tractors. But what we think will happen is that as we implement this program, the agrarian reform program, it will be clear to us how the tractors are being used or not used. Okay? But right now, the reason why we don't have the information, because we're not involved, we're not on an ongoing basis, overseeing the implementation of the program. Once we bring in our new info system, okay, on the monitoring of what we do on the ground, we bring in the smart pens, etc. We have just now finalizing the redeployment of one of the key managers from one of the provinces who's going to help to manage at least the zero hand. Because we are very open. When we don't have skills, we look at what is capable people elsewhere. We ask for them to do that because we're not faultless at the government. We don't have all these skills. So if there's someone sharp in another department, we say, come help us with this. But more to get health service providers who will help to roll out the program for us. Because as I'm saying, the state, people who are in government are never trained to mobilize. There's no university that teaches people to mobilize development. Very few. And most of the people we have there are economies, etc. So the skills of mobilization that people may be in political or take for granted are not necessarily there in the state. So we've got to see how we get those skills to help us to operate in a different way. As we implement the program, we'll have a sense of our challenges, etc., etc. Mr. Masango, you wanted to have a list of the senior managers. We've got it for you. What services are these senior managers? Now, I want to make this point. These senior managers are not fully time deployed in these municipalities, okay? But they are supposed to visit them at least once over 6 weeks. Okay? They are supposed to be in touch with them, even telephonically. We want people to say, I own up what is happening. What is happening around Mthatha? I know everything about it. I own them. I'm in touch. I visit them every 6 weeks. I drive around and spend 2 days having a sense and giving technical guidance. They are supposed, but remember, we are trying to obviate what the Honorable Council says, that we will say that the concomitant responsibilities. It's true, we have that, but how do we go around it? So the way we're going around it, the fact that we have no responsibility to do things, but one thing to be done. So we say, let us, senior managers, visit all these areas that the provinces are involved in. Let them firstly plan with the provinces, and then they must also monitor what's happening with the provinces. Now, it's a creative way of going against some of the challenges of our constitution. Instead of complaining about them, we're trying to find a way to solve it, and we've got the list as I indicated. What we are presently working on, I will report on it, even though we're working with one of the departments. I won't mention it because I think it's important to be sanctioned by ministers, etc. But let me just give the heart of the idea. We've got about 10,000 unemployed graduates from in the agricultural field. Okay? But 10,000, a lot of them, 10,000. Okay? We are working on a program to ensure that they can be made available to us in the hands. Okay? And then they're working now with local, with the Provincial Department of Agriculture. We will give them a stipend, not much, maybe 4,000 rand a month. We'll try to cost that when we're at advanced negotiations with one of the other departments to help us to do this. Now, this would be capacity that's available locally. That would be residing there. Okay? Working together with the extension officers whose list we make available to. So, using smart pen to ensure that we are able to monitor from Pretoria, having a sense of what exactly they're doing on the ground. With the proper information system. On the issue of again from Honorable Masang, the 1,314 people affected on market access. One of the key interventions we'll be doing around market access, as we said, is through the Rohana program, which will mean that hospitals, blah blah blah, and schools must buy from small order farmers. We are presently working out the final agreement between myself, the DG of Agriculture, and the other relevant DGs in health, in basic education, so that we can have a common agreed program that will then be used to open up markets by smallholder farmers across the country, where people say, look, what the DGs have agreed to, this is the policy of government, please, if you are in hospitals in Butterworth, you help to buy from us more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's basically where what we're trying to do to open up the market. Coming to the on the issue of awareness of these opportunities, we will promote right now. For instance, we're busy popularizing some of the intervention that the minister did in the budget debate. But we will go on a far more stronger mobilization. But we sometimes we don't want to go on a very big way, and then we have the capacity, we don't have the capacity to service that demand. For us, it would be better that in the context of the program, because we'll be managing the program, the Zorahana program, we'll be having our people driving it. It's a far more predictable way, and it will be available in all the rural areas of the country. It will be easier in the context of implementing that, working with organized black agriculture. Those are the principal beneficiaries of the current program. We will then be able to mobilize people, bring, make them involved, blah, 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 blah. So you can criticize us that you should be more ambitious, but we think we want something more manageable, something that we can be able to manage and engage to do. The chairperson, your comment, objectives of the delivery forum. There is principally one objective of the delivery forum, Chair. It is to create jobs, nothing else. The delivery forum is supposed to involve all the key stakeholders of the industry that we are managing the staff, so that all those leaders meet regularly and help the minister achieve her outcome and her agreement, her delivery agreement with the president. So people in fisheries must say that the minister will be creating this amount of jobs if you were to sort out this problem and this problem. These are what leaders of business must tell us. Those in the food industry should tell us, we could be moving in this direction, but we can't move in this direction because of this and that. Okay. So what we are now doing is to constitute technical teams with the 24 or to say 26 commodity groups, okay, with the department, with one discussion, nothing else on the agenda, one discussion, how to create jobs in the commercial sector. So that is principally changed. The objective of the performance. Other things like environmental protection are important to fact issues of inclusion, issues of inequality, issues of poverty. That's what we're focusing on. Then there was a question on higher education or the issue of one of the units. I think Mr. Sol will talk to that. I would also like Mr. Ramaswamy to talk a little bit on fencing and how with boundaries, etc., etc. Maybe you can also comment on the drainage of all our food. Then you also asked a fundamental question on the relationship between smallholder and commercial agriculture. What is the pipeline? What is the path from being a smallholder to a sustainable commercial farmer? I think this is quite a deep matter. I don't think that we can answer it without going to a workshop, by the way. It's not an easy question to answer. It is easy to mention, I think, one of the questions I was asked about what is the difference between a sustainable farmer and a smallholder farmer. It is easy to decide how to move a smallholder farmer to a commercial farm, which is to say anyone who produces to sell is a commercial farm. But if you're talking about serious commercial farming, you mean people who can really serious income out of commercial farming. So we would have to discuss how we should peg that, what level. I don't think the department will go into that serious philosophical and theoretical thing from that. But it's something that needs to be said. Thank you very much. The other colleagues will take the other questions. Maybe to Ravande to take yours, and Ramaswamy will follow, and then the CFO will comment. And Uwono will finally respond to the Ravande.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and Director General. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to respond on the issue of forestry research. The honorable members may take note that as a department, we do have an existing memorandum of understanding with Forestry South Africa and the University of Pretoria to carry out research for forestry. The MOUs were signed more than 5 years ago, and to date, on an annual basis, we are able to see progress because the major concern in the forestry industry was the control of Cyrex, which is an insect that can invade plantations and cause a lot of damage. the MOU that we have with the University of Pretoria is not only for research, but it is also covering the area of postgraduate study. So it addresses research and development. The honorable members can also take note that it's not only the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries that is responsible for research in forestry, but also the CSIR, the Council for Industrial Research, has got a very big unit that deals with tree technology. They operate from Pretoria as well as Pietermaritzburg. In addition, we have an existing very old institution that deals with commercial research, which is referred to as ICFR, based in Pietermaritzburg. Lastly, the honorable members can also take note that the Sasfeld, which is a college of forestry linked to the University of Nelson Mandela in Port Elizabeth, also carries out research in forestry, including the Faculty of Forest Science at the University of Stellenbosch. So broadly, members can take note that forestry research is being addressed. DG, I would like to take the opportunity to respond to the earlier comments by Honorable Member Van Dalen regarding the landcare program, the number of jobs that are created, job opportunities versus full-time equivalent. The observation by the member is quite correct. It might look worrying if we only look at the figures, but the committee can take note that in the landcare program, a person can get more than one job opportunity, which means if you look at what they are likely to get as an income, it cannot only, if you take these figures as an example, it will not only be restricted to once off income for that person that participates in the program. The landcare program is very broad because it covers various activities such as the fencing, the closing of dongas, dealing with soil rehabilitation, and so on. So the committee can take note that more than one job opportunity can be offered to a beneficiary. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, DG, for the opportunity that has been given to me to elucidate certain facts that have been given here. I'll start off with the issues that were raised by honorable Mr. Van Dalen on that the list is available, and honorable members will get the list by Friday. We will just conclude on the modalities of how this information is going to be received by honorable members. On animal diseases, the surveillance of FMD in the KZN area, which was a problematic area, was concluded in February of this year. The analysis of the samples that were taken from KZN was also concluded. What is currently happening within the department is that there is an analysis currently of the results that we are having, and we expect that that analysis will be concluded in the next 3 weeks and be availed. In terms of the fences, we would like to thank the honorable members for taking their time off to go to KZN and look at the problems that are being faced by different departments. I think that has also jolted and highlighted the plight that agriculture is having at border posts and border fences. To this effect, the Border Control Coordinating Committee, which is the committee that is responsible for border posts, is today having a meeting on the integrated border management strategies to look at the strategies of looking at how can we secure the border in order to ensure that the fences are intact so that we can use border posts or what you call ports of entry as choke points, and we can account for each and every person or every product that comes into the country. Simultaneously, there is a body called the Interagency Clearing Forum. That is also a body within the BCOCC that is looking at border posts. And what has happened is that we are looking at the budget that currently is being given by the Department of Public Works. We are looking at prioritizing the budget to look at the current problems that we are having in terms of fences, especially our fences with neighboring with Zimbabwe, that there will be funds made available to deal with the problem. Instantly.
The other area that was raised, I think, was Thailand. In terms of Thailand, honorable members would remember that this has been almost a tennis ball being switched from a political point of view and also the technical point of view. And we have never had a resolution in terms of our Thailand stance. But where we are currently is that the PRA, which is a pest risk analysis, a process of ensuring that the products are safe to be imported or exported, has been undertaken. We expect that it will be concluded in September, and the Thais, and we would resume probably with our export of grapes to Thailand if everything goes well. On a positive note, we have gained market access in terms of our citrus to Thailand, and we expect that if all the documents are signed off by the Thai government, we will be exporting end of June or very close by. There was another issue that was raised in terms of the Rift Valley fever, and that was in terms of the price, whether there was any effect, the outbreak had any effect in terms of price. Yes, the answer is admittedly, if everything is held constant, an answer like that can be derived. However, one would need to have an intense study that would limit other things that have got to do with market forces and other related issues. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, DJ. Honorable Chair and honorable members. My name is Bongam Somi. I'll be answering on the vulnerable workers delivery unit. So far, we have established in 4 provinces, which is Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Limpopo, and Free State. The other remaining provinces will establish theirs this year, because they have to budget and create structures in the organogram and recruit people and basically allocate the units. So I'm expecting them to establish them this financial year. And these delivery units, they are the ones that actually drive the process of making sure that you've got delivery forums in the different provinces, where they coordinate meetings with the local Department of Labor, Department of Health, Home Affairs, to make sure that the vulnerable workers have got IDs, they get access to health. Then they also have to direct the Department of Labor inspectors to go and do inspections where there are problems. That's what is the role of the provincial delivery units, which actually become an engine to coordinate. We've had some successes in Limpopo and Mpumalanga, where we've even got Department of Health that have created a mobile clinic that visited about 100 farms in the 2 provinces. So nationally, we have a delivery forum where we meet with the departments of labor, home affairs, health, so that we make sure that we pick up the problems of the vulnerable workers. So then the reason for this provincial unit is to make sure they bring closer the coordination and work on the vulnerable workers. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, teacher. I'll first respond to questions raised by Honorable Mashwane Biluzu on DORA. Why are these particular provinces, I think Gauteng, Limpopo, and Eastern Cape, not spending 100%? I think in our first 3 quarters, especially the first 2 quarters, Gauteng was not spending very satisfactory, and we have been having discussions with the MEC for Agriculture and also the HOD to address that particular issue. And then the intervention that was taken by the HOD assisted us in terms of improving for Gauteng, but also in general for the other 2 provinces, and also including Gauteng. At the beginning of the year, we normally get business plans on what they are going to spend on which projects. Now, when we're having our quarterly reviews with the provinces, we identified projects that were not on the business plans, and then we couldn't approve those business plans to go on, and hence you would see that some of the money was not spent.
And then there was another question around why are we underspending on capital assets on the financials? The main reason relates to we had a bid on mobile clinics that was ongoing in the department. The first phase was when we had bids that were advertised, and then we had bids that were evaluated. But then when we evaluated the bids, we found out that the bidders could not meet our specification. Then we had to re-advertise. And then the re-advertisement happened around January, and then in March this year, it was evaluated. But the adjudication only happened now in April. Those mobile clinics are actually now being ordered. And then there was a question about why are most of the projects being done during the last quarter. I think we did an analysis with National Treasury, and then we came up with a spending pattern, or we call that a payment schedule, whereby in the first quarter we released 10% of the funds for CASP, and then the other 15%, I think 20% in the second quarter, and then the last two quarters we released 35% each, because we have analyzed that during the last two quarters, that's when provinces are spending on CASP. And then there was a question by Honorable Nyalunga around CASP and ILIMA. Yes, we indicated that CASP normally helps smallholders, and then ILIMA helps subsistence farmers. But I think we need to clear one thing, is that the main objective of ILIMA is to increase agricultural output or production. And as such, we not only concentrate on subsistence farmers when we assist around ILIMA, but we also take into consideration smallholder farmers. Thank you very much, teacher.
Yeah, thanks, TJ. Thanks, Chair, and honorable members. You know, I'd like to comment on three issues. I think the first one, TJ, has commented on that the honorable member from Darren made, that the fisheries industry is in a difficult situation now. And I'd just like to emphasize that, you know, honorable Chair, the difficulties with fisheries, especially the established industries, is the issue of communication. And I think there's been a lot of miscommunication that has been happening, and also, you know, a lack of engagement. We met with the fishing industry at the DGF, you know, indicated already that we're in constant communication with them now. We met with the industry about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, exactly 2 weeks ago to today, and then, you know, we're able to listen to, you know, some of the issues that they are concerned of, and also the government to communicate those issues that are of interest. And it, you know, it was very clear that meeting, Chair, that there's common interest between us and the, you know, and the fishing industry. And you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of miscommunication that goes on, you know, in the media, even from, you know, honorable members, that creates uncertainty in the sector. So anyway, we've committed ourselves with them that they have to be organized. They must have some sort of a representative, because there's 50 South Africa, but some of the members, it seems, they're not comfortable of that body representing them. So we've put a challenge to them, you know, honorable Chair, that, you know, it's critical that they get organized, like what we have, the, you know, the Forestry Council, the Agri-SAs, the NAFUs, and the FAUs, and all those aspects, whereby they can be able, you know, to have a platform to engage with us, and also, you know, to engage with the minister. We've invited them to also participate in the CEO's steering committees, and also the CEO's forum, and also the delivery forum as another platform of, you know, engaging government and influencing government policy. And I'm also, you know, impressed on them, honorable Chair, that, you know, our destiny is, you know, is the same. If we move together, we'll be, the common objective will be achieved. And I think there was a willingness also from their side that, you know, it's important that they engage us and, you know, hear what is the position of government. rather than relying on the news and also on consultants that are actually running the sector, as we are saying now. And in all other levels, in each of the fish farms, we're saying we're going to put in about 3 fish farms, and then only 2 have been achieved. There's also the issue of the procurement process that was delayed. I think there was an advert to get a service provider, but then the processes were not followed properly. But now there's another process to ensure that we're able to achieve this target, Honourable Chair. And the other aspect where we are stuck is the issue of the establishment of the new harbour, the trade harbour. And I think this process, we are in, there's about 3 key stakeholders. I think the Department of Public Works that actually owns the land, and also the Department of Environmental Affairs and ourselves. And the technical team has been working on this thing, Honourable Chair, for the past financial year, actually, and they've made recommendations. And there was supposed to be an inter-ministerial meeting. In fact, from our side, a letter from the minister has already been sent to the Minister of Public Works, about the issue of the land that has been used for this purpose. But then there hasn't been a response from the Minister of Public Works. And now we are planning an IMC, Honourable Chair, in the next 2 weeks, where the 3 ministers will be able to meet them and then, make a joint decision on the way forward in regard to the establishment of the 3 harbors that have been identified. Thanks, Chair.
I'm not so sure whether it was responded. I did hear you saying something about the fencing. Whether any specific person or department that is dealing with the fencing. I didn't hear much of
Honourable Ramaswamy to the state.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thanks, DG. The fencing currently, in terms of legislation, as indicated in Josini, does not fall within the mandate of a particular department. You have got the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, which is responsible for disease control and having its own fences. You have got the department, you have got the South African military also responsible there. To compound the issues, you have got the Department of Environmental Affairs with the parks that are there. Now, currently what's happening is that the Department of Public Works has got funding that is set aside for border control issues. And it is that funding that will be used from that level. Now, since the deployment of the military to the borders, there is a committee that is currently looking at the responsibilities of fences that would basically be commanded by the military, with the military taking the responsibility of primary controls at your border lines. So as we are standing, as we are currently sitting, you have got the military responsible for the fences. You have got DPW sitting with the PES or the finances that have got to deal with the fences. But no singular department, as we speak, is responsible for the fences. But through coordination of the departments that are involved, the agriculture, forestry and fisheries, military, the South African police, and environmental affairs, there is a process that is geared towards ensuring that there is a singular body that is responsible for fences. I hope that answers the question, Honourable.
It does. It also tells me something that says, whilst DAF is still hanging there, perhaps not knowing whether it is going to be environment or military, that fence can always be taken to Weston in my constituency area where they really need it now, yesterday. In other words, that budget. That's on a lighter note, which is quite equally serious. Members, Mr. Kayla?
Oh, just a small one. Whether these answers can come afterwards. When I visited Northern KwaZulu-Natal, the department committed itself in reviving the cotton industry, whereby we were told that 25 million has been given to revive the sector. You would like a report on that. It's important. Secondly, the smallholder farmers and system farmers, there's a thin line here. Why do I say that? In the former TPV states, these subsistence farmers have got big land, not small land. So they're not farming for themselves. They're also farming to sell. But the only problem, that's why I was always talking about the tax, is that they don't have the implements to farm. That is where the problem is. Now, you have to come up with a plan in the system, because that is the best land that can produce, it's very fertile land. You have to come up with a program. Then, DG, I would also like that we must have a list of those people who benefited from those tractors and their contact details. Why do I say so? Especially in my program, there's a tendency to politicize service delivery. Some of the staff go to a certain area in my province, so I'll be happy if I get copies of that. Then, I never hear you talking about small millers, the small milling companies, which have problem in not getting logs, because the logs are given to the established sector. And they have been there for years and years. Even before our democracy, they were there and they were doing business, employing people. One would like you to come back with a report about that as well. Then, fisheries. It seems to be a Western Cape, Northern Cape, but the Wild Coast, what is happening there with the smallholder fisheries? What is happening there? We need. I think you must give us a report about that as well. Whether it is not now, but we need that report. Then, lastly, co-op registration. You know, about a month back, I went to your office in Mkasa, taking people there to go and register. There were not even forms, the ordinary forms, to help to register. So I think something needs to be done about that, please. Those are the few
questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Dasandaran, we're just going to be very brief this time around. Okay, Mama, you're not.
Yes, I just wanted to know, the DG said that there, on fisheries there was about 100%, close to 100% spent on the budget. So I needed to know, how is that possible? Because, I mean, if you take that, those ships that we have, they cost 800 million for 5 years. It works out to about 40 million for the 3 months. So we must add that 40 million somewhere, because people have told us that most of that cost is for fuel. And those ships are not going at the moment. Where is this fuel going? Where is the money for that going if we have 100% spent? And also those ships have to be involved in environmental protection. When we have a disaster, they put out these anti-oil pollution pontoons. And when we had the ship stranding in Clifton, they were obviously nowhere to be seen because they are still in the harbor. What are we doing to protect our coastline and our fish that those ships are not there at the moment? I mean, surely we can't just let it go and say, well, in a year's time we'll go and see what's going on again with that. Surely it can't be right. Thank you.
Mama?
Chairperson, thank you. The zero hunger strategy was approved by the DGs and Mr. Flasser. But it was said that the department plans to have the zero hunger strategy approved in the first quarter of 2011-2012. At its implementation plan approved by the fourth quarter. I just want to find out whether is this achieved, because I don't see it. And lastly, in the strategic plan, it was reported that 284 distressed farmers were with the land bank, and the department planned to finance and support at least 60 of these farmers. In its performance report, the department just reported that 24 million was transferred for the land bank for the purpose, but does not say how many farmers were assisted with this transfer money. That is what I want to.
In course.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check whether I did understand when and the DG was responding with regards to regarding the cost, more especially with the kind that the fishing committee has, when he said there is a committed company that is on standby prepared to assist regarding the cost if the department does not have, or the army cannot, or the army cannot, or the army moves out. Is that a private company which is as well have an interest in fishing? If so, how could then the department take somebody who has an interest? Because obviously, I don't think you will ever. There's no one who can qualify his or herself, in my understanding. Won't that sort of give an opportunity of a particular company to exploit as much as they could with regards to the resources in our fishing waters. Thank you.
Mr. Brown?
Chairperson, just three little ones. Firstly, there's no mention being made whatsoever about the talk always of creating a one-stop shop, particularly something where interest rates for upcoming farmers could be lowered. We also have upcoming people who have done something on their own. We haven't heard about that again. There's a big hullabaloo about it about 2-3 years ago. It seems to have died down. Secondly, Chairperson, this list of deployments, are these all permanent deployees, or are they now still actors over here? And I may also remind you about something that I'm always particular, and that is, you have this document which I'm going to keep on file. And there it says SMS deployment. So you must always check up, you know, that the language that we use is correct. Finally, Chair, those documents that you are supposed to make available to us, please see that we get them. It's not the first and the last that we want to hear about it. We would like to have them, and make sure that you give us dates when those the newly established smallholder farmers were placed on the land. That is, to me, absolutely vital in order to determine whether we are making progress or whether we are making retrogression. Thank you, Chair.
We are fine. One of the other things we must have as part of our program would be to get or bring Statistics South Africa to come and talk to us about their work as it relates to information and data on employment in the sectors, culture, forest and fisheries. I was talking to the CEO of Land Bank this morning, impressing upon him of a need to come to our committee. He is readily available with his team. So our rescheduling or additional days on our program should take care of those areas. And then, of course, also we still must have a session, or rather a briefing on forestry, which will take care of a number of areas. For instance, one of those other areas are the issues that are still outstanding within SAFCO and what transpired ultimately that led to a number of those private entities running those forests. For instance, one of those areas is a matter related to, you know, the 10% shareholding by communities. That is meant to have gone a long way in improving and developing those communities. Whether you are going to have those communities when they currently buy, for instance, today, they will be buying at today's valuation of those assets, or they shall be buying at the time those assets were sold by the state to those private individuals. This would have been what? Year 2001, 2003? 2001. Others 2005. Now, these would be your outstanding matters for communities themselves, because a number of those communities where those forestry plantations are situated, they're quite poor. Now, it is said that the state is the one that is not acting on this matter, because the communities are readily there, available, and ready to get going. And they want to build schools and clinics and whatnot in their own respective areas. But it is the state, specifically in this instance, Department of Public Enterprise, that is not moving, not knowing what is going on with the employee share ownership scheme, I think of about 9%, whether that has since been effected. Now, these would be some of the issues related to forestry briefing, but of course, if there is to be any feedback, that would be mostly or rather greatly appreciated from the department. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I think the small millers, I think Dr. Lampedi will comment on that. Then the issue again, fisheries issue with Tim Kidd, Dr. Mashabon, say something on that. The registration of co-ops, I hope Dr. Nong can say something on that. Follow under him. I want to repeat, Chair, that we are working well with the industry around managing issues of fish in the country. I think it's important. Well with the industry. We talk with them, whatever difficulties that we have, they have got confidence in us, and they don't see any crisis. I mean, people ask the crisis, the industry doesn't see any crisis. He understands that we're managing a transition from one regime and one player who are managing things. New disposition, they understand that such transition are by definition not easy. So the industry is comfortable with that. Maybe the portfolio committee may want to invite the industry to come in and present here what their take on some of these issues. I think it's important. Maybe more will come to the issue of the 40%, but as far as I'm concerned, what we're reporting on is on the last quarter. And I think that the contract with one of these fishing companies was ended when in March. So it was at the end of the financial year. So for the financial year under review, everything was paid up and it was still that same player. So that's what we're reporting on. Okay. Uma Mutiliso, on the implementation plan. I think, Mama, we are implementing Izibohanga on the basis that of a broad endorsement by the cabinet culture of last year. Okay? Processes sometimes take long in government. There's consultation. There are many other players that have to be drawn into the issue, but we have not waited for that process to be concluded, Mama. We have gone ahead to implement it. Okay? And we've managed to have an agreement, we got advice from Treasury, and we've finally been able to redirect some of the funding that was forecast, but it was not general undefined funding. We said that funding must now work within this context. It must be targeted to these local farmers who must get this market. So even at the level of funding. Of course, we'll do a proper budgeting, okay? But the money that we have now, we're using it for this program. So we are implementing it, Mama. There may be hiccups here and there, but we're implementing it. And the provinces are going ahead with it. The challenge is certain provinces, I don't want to necessarily mention them, that are about 80% of them are doing very well. on the implementation of the program. Who CFO will handle the issue of the land bank, which will also link up to the issue of all the questions that were asked by Honorable Abraham. The issue of the information that was required by the portfolio, that is required by the portfolio committee, would be made available by the end of this week. All these things that were the extension officers, who are they, employees, beneficiaries from CAS, all that information is available and made available to the committee. It does not need to be printed out and be sent to the committee for people to see that. So we will ensure that that Ralph is not here because he is on start leave. But we will ensure that that information comes there by Friday. On staff SA, Chair, I think that it would be good for staff SA to show the country that we are creating jobs in agriculture. I think staff SA must come and give that scientific evidence. Thank you very much. Colleagues,
you take the
questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Members, and thanks, DG. First, I would want to respond to the question that was raised by Honorable Van Dalen on the 100% spending on vessels. I would want to say to Honorable Van Dalen, the vessels have not been operating from, I think that's the 1st of April, and we're reporting on quarter four, which is in the previous year. But nevertheless, most of the grants that was received by the Marine Living Resource Fund went through for vessels management. And then also the other area, it was for compensation of employees. I must say to the honorable members that we also had to do some juggling in terms of varaments for employee compensation of employment, because the money that is supposed to be paid for employees at fisheries, I think we are under, let's say we've got a budget that is less than 40 million that we need for compensation of employees. So we had to offset it using other funds within the department. Then there was a question that was raised by Honorable Maswane Biliso around the issue of distressed farmers. There was a team that was requested by the department to look for a financer that would assist the department in terms of addressing the problems that was affecting those farmers. Now, yes, the 24 million was paid over by the department to Land Bank, and there was another team that was formed between Land Bank, the department, DAF, and the Rural Development and Land Reform. And that team had to identify, they had to look at that list, and then we got services of Rabobank. Rabobank is a Netherlands-based bank to assist us in terms of addressing those problems that that those farmers were having. And the process is still ongoing. And then the issue of one-stop shop as raised by Honorable Abrams. We have had discussions with National Treasurer, and I must admit, we have had difficulties with this problem of one-stop shop. Our thinking was that we need to get all the grants under one fund, whereby we'll be able to make sure that there's no double dipping, but also we are able to know who's receiving what at what particular time. And then we went to Treasury to negotiate around that, but Treasury looked at it in another way. But we haven't stopped the negotiations. But also, I want to say that In our case, the one leg that is, even if we were to leave the situation as is, the one leg that is very lacking from our side is the insurance facilities for smallholders. Now, in terms of interest rates, I think in one of the portfolio committee meetings, we indicated that we were having a discussion with the land bank around having a wholesale finance facility, whereby we would be offering using a land bank as a source, so that when the farmers are looking for funds, they can go through via land bank and offer a lower interest rate. I must say the process has started. There are now intermediaries that are working hand in hand with the department and land bank that are now offering 4%. If, for example, the members had a look last week, there was a launch by the land bank and NERPO around funding for infrastructure, and the interest rate is at 4%, and the department has contributed some money towards that. Now, there are other complications that we are still trying to sort out. You will be aware that the Mafisa rate currently is at 8%. Now, our thinking is that any new loan that needs to be approved, whether for Mafisa or through this wholesale finance facility, should be at 4%. But I think the negotiations will be positive from our side. Thank you.
Two things. On the Rabobank, the Rabobank from Netherlands, which is helping us design our system, is arguably the best accessible bank in the world. So we've gone to them. I think it's important to make that point. The second point on the land bank, they sent us information. We didn't use this information during the budget debate, but they have confirmed to us that through the scheme that they're managing for us, they have more than 1,000 people, if not more, have been enrolled successfully as farmers through their scheme. I think that when you bring them here, Fagamani will give more details on that. We didn't use that information because we felt that we needed to further engage them. But there is good work that they are doing and good achievement that they are doing through partnership. I thought it's important to make those 2 points. Dr. Bashar.
Okay, thanks, Chair, and thanks, TG. You know, I'll just respond to the 3 issues that have been raised on there. The one question from the Honourable Member was about, you know, whether there has been any patrols since, you know, the vessels have been docked in Simonstown. You know, I'd like to indicate that we have about 10 speedboats that are actually doing coastal patrols. And another new development is that in South Amatol, with our patrol officers, they sailed about a week ago from Cape Point to East London, also doing sea patrols. So there's work being done to keep up in the protection of our resources. There's work that is being done. And secondly, you know, the issue of the African, I think David wanted to know whether if we go to a private company, what will be the implications. You know, I'd like to say that now we are still going to have the African. In fact, you know, Plan B will not even have to consider it. We are confident that we'll have the African back, you know, in the water this Friday. Because, Chair, what has happened is that the vessel sailed for the first thing in research tour, and, you know, it had a best pump. So it went back to the dock. And, you know, upon inspection, you know, the condition of the vessel was found not to be, you know, at the level where the safety of the crew could be guaranteed. So there was a thorough inspection by the Navy. You know, they came to a department and made a presentation to the DG, you know, about the state of the vessel. If we can bring it to the committee to see how the upkeep of the vessel, it was really shocking, Chair, that the condition of the vessel was so bad. that the Navy decided that it will not go to the sea with that vessel until they dry dock the vessel. So what happened last week is that DG gave them the permission to dry dock the vessel. They pulled her into a dock and then pulled her out of the water. And then, you know, only to find that also in the sauna was broken of the vessel. So they had to order in that sauna form. And I think it's from Europe, yeah. So I'm told that sauna, only arrived yesterday, after they placed it, or the cook, because we are just waiting 24 hours to get the vessel back into the water. So I'm told the sauna, is being installed, and then they'll get the vessel back into the water on Friday. And next week on Monday, they'll then run the trials for the vessel for only 1 week. And if everything is 100% okay, then they'll say next week on Friday for the pelagic survey. So there's work that's been done. Okay. And Honorable Gilly, even get to the wild coast there in the Eastern Cape, there's been a series of meetings in fact with the fishing communities there about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, where we've met with the fishing communities try to explain to them our programs, looking at the whole issue of aquaculture, the whole issue of the trials that are being run there around fishing, the whole issue of the creation of hatcheries. And we are confident that we'll be able to sort of capacitate our office there much better, because there have been complaints from the communities there that our officials are not more responsive. They're not really very helpful. I mean, everything has to come to the Western Cape. So what the minister has been saying, to say that fisheries can't be localized in the Western Cape. There's work that is actually being done to deploy more people to all the coastal critical cities, whereby it will be able to render a much more efficient service to our people, rather than having them always everything being looked at to Cape Town. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Moshaba.
Thank you very much, DJ. Chairperson and honorable members, the comment from the honorable member on sawmilling and the challenges around procurement for the small sawmillers is quite valid. We will provide a written answer on how sawmilling is done in South Africa broadly. However, I would like to request the honorable members to note that currently, the department sells timber in three ways. The one way is the offhand sales, where anybody can walk to a plantation and purchase offhand. It cannot be a big quantity. It's only going to be for domestic use. The other way in which we dispose of timber or gain revenue for government is through short-term contracts. The third way of selling timber is through long-term or over evergreen contracts that were inherited from the previous government. We have noted as a department that the three ways of selling timber are not really sustainable, especially for the small sawmillers. What we've done for now is to go on tender so that everybody can compete fairly for the timber. But when we do that, we make sure that there is a set aside for previously disadvantaged sawmillers so that they get preference from the department. But we will provide a written answer on how timber is sold and how revenue is generated and how it affects sawmilling broadly in the country. The second question came from the chairperson regarding the issues related to SAFCOL. It also warrants a written response. For now, I can comment that we have difficulty dealing with the issue of shareholding, chairperson and honorable members, simply because it is not the primary responsibility of the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries to finalize the matter. It is the responsibility of the Minister of Public Enterprise, Minister of Trade and Industry, Rural Development and Land Reform. It has taken a number of years because, as government, we are unable to agree on the best way of resolving the issue. We will also provide a written answer on that one. Thank you, DG, Chair, and honorable members.
I think, members, we are done for now.
Okay.
Yes, when the person was talking about the ships, and he said the state the ships were in, or the boats were in, I already have spoken to somebody at SAMHSA. This is the South African Marine Authority. They are in charge of the safety of all the ships, and of the they must make sure that these ships comply with the laws. And if those people are coming here, then we might as well get them SAMHSA here to protect, to give their side of the story as well, why these ships are in such a bad state. I think that would not only the one come, but the SAMHSA that is responsible for overseeing the safety on the ships, that they also come here and explain why these ships are in such a bad state. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and DG. Just two quick points on the matter raised on lack of registration forms for cooperatives. Just to make a note that the Department of Trade and Industry deals with registration matters, as the Register of Co-ops sits with the DTI. However, we can commit to work with DTI to make sure that we get the necessary forms, if we can get some more information on where the registrations are needed, and we can commit to facilitate that process. Thank you very much.
Members, I think we are done for now. The matter related to SAMHSA certainly will have to be taken up. That's the broad matter that relates to state of the fleet that we have. Whether it's a new thing or it is part of those that we inherited from Smith and Mandla and all of those related matters. Okay, I'm not too sure what we are frankly doing next week, with the program kept on changing from time to time, and now we're not being here. This is those farm workers oversight with the other committees. What we were expected to do was to get some members identified, I think five, it's not center of four, as initially we thought. And then there are two provinces, it's Western Cape and Free State, that have been identified. What I will do, I'll actually source some information and have it distributed to members as soon as is possible. So that's basically what we're doing next week. It's that oversight visit. There was a study done by Human Rights Watch upon which conditions of employment of the farm workers was identified to be one of the major issues of concern. So this is a follow-up to that. This oversight visit of next week. I know also for a fact that there is a delivery forum on Monday. I'm not sure who attends that from us. But also on Wednesday the 6th, I know for a fact that the Wool Growers Conference is taking place as well. So those are the kinds of activities that are taking place next week. So in other words, we are not sitting next week. Okay, members, that should be it.